It's 8:19. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. Good morning. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me this morning by phone is Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thanks so much for having me, as always.
Good to have you with us. Just a few minutes ago on NPR, they were talking about the negotiations that are underway for a possible ceasefire in Ukraine. The Russian incursion there, even though they're denying it's a Russian incursion, has persisted, even though sanctions and the sharp decline in oil prices even have hurt the Russian economy. Is there a diplomatic solution to this conflict?
Well, certainly that's the what we need to pursue. That's always best, and people are working really hard on that. You know, the president was over visiting with Merkel, and right now I think we need to continue the sanctions that we have against the Russians. The Europeans are hesitant for additional sanctions, but I think we need to go forward with doing what we're doing. And ultimately, I think that is a reason that perhaps the Russians are starting to show somewhat of a willingness to talk.
Now, what are the options if we're not able to reach an agreement here? Some have suggested arming Ukraine's outgunned military as a feasible option.
No, I think we should leave everything on the table, and lethal aid in the sense of providing weapons. Again, I think that's something we really need to consider. If the Russians continue to do the bullying tactics that they've done, and we're in the situation that we are in. So, yeah, I think we need to leave everything on the table, and then also go ahead and really consider arming the rebels. Not the rebels, the people that are trying to, be such a destructive force, in Ukraine. It's hard to keep all of the different insurgency straight.
You know, it is.
These things are going on all over the world, and like I say, it's just a very difficult situation right now.
It is, and a lot of the discourse is focusing on the roles of the U.S. and Russia, but really, do you think the people of the Ukraine need to be included in the discussion more? There seems to be a divide among them as to which way they would like to go.
No, I think that's certainly true, and it's a difficult situation, and we need to stand behind our allies, though, and I think the sanctions that we have in place now are very important, and if things don't start to move diplomatically, then I think we need to consider increasing the sanctions on Russia. This seems to be something that is starting to work, so that's a good thing.
President Obama is getting ready to ask Congress for authority to use force against ISIS. How is Congress going to respond to this, and how will you respond?
Well, one of the most, probably the most important vote that we have as a Congress is whether or not to, to vote on whether or not we go into action against another country or another entity. And so this is a big decision. I think the president is correct in sending it to Congress so we can actually have a vote and a discussion. And the president needs to bring his proposal forward, and then the Senate needs to spend a lot of time, looking at it and perhaps improving it, and then going forward.
Now, the president's been working off this authorization given to President Bush for the war on terror. Does this authorization, doesn't it need to be updated to fit the current situation?
No, I think it does. I think the president is correct, and I agree with him in bringing forward a new authorization as we, start to really focus in against this terrible enemy in the sense of ISIS.
Mm-hmm. Now, Americans have been largely supportive of airstrikes against ISIS, but it now appears that, sadly, the American aid worker, Kayla Mueller, was killed allegedly by a Jordanian airstrike. I don't know if that's been confirmed or not. There is a danger of airstrikes hitting unintended targets and killing innocents or even hostages. Could they be doing more harm than good?
No, I think we need to continue the airstrikes. The Jordanians have really stepped up their airstrikes, and this has, if it hadn't been for us stepping in, I think that many would argue that ISIS would be in Baghdad right now as we speak. So it's important. Certainly, your heart goes out to, unintended victims, in this sense. But it is such that you know, those things are going to happen, and you do everything within your power to keep them from happening. But I do think it's important that we continue, and I applaud Jordan for really stepping up and addressing the threat.
There's so many problems in the world that we have to address, and a lot of concerns that that have to be addressed here. There's some concern among both parties that this authority that the president is asking for might be too vaguely worded. Are you concerned about the wording of this and how this is going to be structured?
Well, I'm concerned about the structure and the wording. Again, that's the reason it's important to bring it to Congress, let Congress discuss it, amend it, work both sides, Democrats and Republicans working together. And this is the time that you really need to be united, as you go forward in an effort like this. And so that's the importance of bringing it to Congress. So there's going to be a lot of discussion over the next few weeks about this. And I think probably at the end of the day, the wording probably will be amended and clarified.
Well, the Syrian people find themselves in just a horrible position. You've got support for the Assad regime in Syria actually growing now because people are seeing his brutal dictatorship as the lesser of two evils compared to the thought of ISIS gaining power. And we are faced with not being able to really support either option. What are our alternatives here?
Well, it's a difficult situation, as you mentioned. There's Assad is a counterbalance, and yet his regime is one that's supported by Iran and has allowed them to extend their abilities throughout the region. On the other side, you've got the fear that this ISIS will overcome the other freedom fighters, and then you'll have an ISIS situation that will dominate the region. So it's just a difficult situation, and that's the importance of Congress discussing these things, weighing in with the president, so that we can all be of one mind. I think there is real concern right now that we simply don't have a policy, that nobody's really articulated the path forward with these things. So we need a strong policy that we can all get behind and then follow through. But it is a very difficult situation.
Now, here at home, we're concerned about our veterans that have been coming home, a lot of concern about the problems that they're facing as they come home. As a member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, you're working with Democratic Senator John Tester on reauthorizing and fixing problems with some of the programs that benefit homeless veterans. Tell us a little bit about that.
We are, Mark, and we have all of these catch-22 situations. What this does is make it such that we eliminate a problem that homeless veterans have. What we're doing now is identifying these people. We're getting them off the street. We're putting them into housing temporarily to get them going. But in doing that, then the government says, well, you're not homeless anymore, so you don't qualify for these programs to better educate, rehabilitate, and things like that. So, which makes no sense at all. And so what we're trying to do is just, eliminate some of those loopholes. That's true in the veterans population. It's also the veteran Indian population. We're working with a Democratic colleague from Montana, Senator Tester, and trying to just make it such that we can make these programs work much better.
Now, this legislation provides for housing assistance and job training. Another factor that can lead to homelessness among veterans is mental health. PTSD
Yes.
and problems associated with TBI, traumatic brain injury, are finally being recognized, it seems, as real problems for veterans. Are we starting to do better in helping veterans with mental health issues?
Yes, sir. We're trying to, and certainly we're doing better than we have, but we're not doing as good as we should. Every day, 22 veterans, it's estimated, commit suicide. So this Thursday, the president will be signing the Clay Hunt suicide bill. What that does is put additional programs in place, identifying those that actually work and beefing those up, and then also making it such that we keep the good professionals that we have on staff, do a better job of retention, and then also increase the staffing for mental health. So it's a step in the right direction. It's just something that we really need to stay after because it's a huge problem within the veterans community.
Yeah, and it's a hopeful step in the right direction. Are there further steps, and what else needs to be done in this direction?
Well, I think we need to do this. I think we need to continue to look at the programs that are in place now. My concern is that many veterans, in an effort to help them, were over-medicating them. That's the easiest thing to do. And so, to their credit, the VA is starting to look at that and really provide programs that don't just treat the symptom, but really get to the heart of the matter as to the real cause. The problem is that that's a timely thing, and you know, it's pretty labor-intensive, but it's really the only way to actually, rather than treat the symptoms, actually get such that we can attempt to you know, start to restore the individual.
Now, we talk about these world and national issues that you have to deal with as a member of Congress, but a big part of the job of being in Congress is helping individual constituents with difficult issues they're facing, and that's why you have local offices and a mobile office, which I understand is going to be in our region.
Yes, sir. You're exactly right. And I understand, my staff understands that we work for the people of Arkansas. Last year we had over 3,000 people reach out to us with various problems that they were having that had to do with the federal government. And so what we try and do is spread offices around. We have one in Jonesboro to take care of that region. And then besides that, have mobile offices where we go to areas, you know, where we don't have an office, which is, you know, throughout the state. And the reason that's so important, many of the people that we deal with are elderly. They're dependent on their children for transportation and things, and they simply can't, you know, get out and visit. So this is something that's really very, very important that we work hard at doing. The other thing that we're doing is trying to use, you know, the new media forms, Facebook, things like that. We had a teletown hall the other day, just getting people to be able to write questions, comments, concerns that they have as far as what we need to be doing in Washington.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to ask you about, actually, is the teletown hall meeting you had earlier this week. Tell me about your experience with those.
Well, it's an excellent vehicle. We take and call, you know, literally thousands of people at the same time. We don't screen the calls in the sense of those that ask questions. And it runs the whole gamut. You know, people are talking about all kinds of things, problems with you know, not enough increase in their COLA with Social Security, veterans issues, concerns, immigration, like I say, you name it. And then occasionally you'll have a caller that says, I'm having a problem with this and that, so we're able to link them up with somebody that can help them. But it really, I think it's a great tool for us to communicate to them, but more importantly, for people to be able to communicate with us and really, really share the concerns. I think so many people just don't feel like they're being listened to and that they don't have a way to, you know, to communicate. So what we're trying to do is bridge that gap.
Just very quickly, what's kind of the number of people that participate in these calls?
Oh, we'll have several hundreds, you know, on the call at one time. So it's kind of like it's almost like a talk radio segment or a segment that you all have, you know, with your. But it's something that I really enjoy, and I think the callers enjoy also.
All right. Well, thank you for your time today. We're out of time. We'll talk to you again next month.
Well, thank you so much for having me, as always.
Thank you. Senator John Bozeman joining us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition.